Are you going through hell today? Here's a thought from Pastor Al Pittman.
Even where you are tonight, even there, yes, Pastor, I'm going through hell. I always tell people, if you're going through hell, keep going. The problem is we're going through hell. We want to build a house there. Where do you live in hell? What are you living there for? If you're going through hell, the idea is to keep moving forward in Jesus and go through, for this too shall pass. Amen.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, welcomes you to The Dwelling Place with our senior pastor, Al Pittman. We have a great study to bring you today. Last time, Pastor Al began a message in Psalm 139. Now, if you're not too familiar with the Bible, you should know that this psalm is one of the best-loved chapters in all of God's Word. In fact, along with the 23rd Psalm, this psalm is the most popular piece of poetry in the Old Testament. Several well-known hymns and praise songs have been written using these great words. So join us. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Those who had passed and died before the time of Christ, where did they go? Couldn't go to heaven. I believe Scripture supports the fact that they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Remember the story Jesus told about the poor man and the Lazarus, the poor man and the rich man, and how the rich man went to a place of torment, and how the poor man was in Abraham's bosom, who lived the righteous life. And there was a great gulf between them. And the rich man cried out, could you please dip your finger in a cup of cool water and just touch my tongue? I'm in torment in this flame. And he said, I can't, because there's a great gulf between us. And I believe Jesus was telling the story of those two places before Christ came. When the righteous died, they would go to a place of the dead. The wicked went to a place of the dead as well, but they were in torment, being held in this place of the dead until Revelation chapter 20, when they are resurrected to be judged before the great white throne judgment of God. But for the righteous, Jesus went down. Atonement has been made for you, told Abraham, told Isaac, told David, who were in a place Jesus also referred to on the cross when he said to the thief, what did he say to him? Today you will be with me in where? Paradise. He didn't say heaven, he said paradise. And so I believe he led captivity captive, according to Ephesians chapter 4, and brought them out of that place, and they brought them into the presence of the Father, because he was also on his way to glory, and he encountered Mary. And remember, he said, Mary, after his resurrection, don't cling to me, I've yet to go to my Father. Amen. So I believe he's on his way to the Father to present himself as a sacrifice on behalf of those saints who had gone before, who had not received, Hebrews chapter 11, the promises. But now they had received the promises, Christ leading captivity captive out of this place of the dead where the righteous were, where David and all the rest were, and to the very presence of God. But for the believer now, the Bible says that is not the case. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that place of the dead does not exist any longer for the righteous in Christ. He said, we are confident, yes, well, pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For us, when we leave this world as believers, since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we go directly into the presence of God. Do not go, do not pass go, as the old Monopoly thing used to say. Go directly, not to jail, but go directly to heaven. So we don't go to this place, as many teach in the Catholic Church, called purgatory, and somebody can pray you out or pay your way out or be good enough for you, whatever. That place does not exist scripturally. If you're in Christ, you pass from this life directly into the very presence of the Lord. Amen. And so when David talks about hell here, he was speaking about that place of the dead, where that abode of the dead, where people went Those who had faith in God and would rest and would be there until, of course, they were waiting until Jesus would come and lead captivity captive into the very presence of God. But that place no longer exists. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 39 tells us, because of Christ's sacrifice, because of his great love for us, no longer do us, we believers, not have to face what the Bible calls in Revelation chapter 20, the second death. We don't have to face the second death. In fact, Paul said, "Where death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Because there is no sting of death. There is no grave that holds the believer any longer because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's because of God's great love. Romans chapter 8 talks about his great love for us, that nothing, not even death itself, would separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. In verse 5, he says here that you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. And here in Psalm 139, it tells us just how secure God's love is for us. He's hedged us behind and before. Wherever we turn, there is the love of God. Death can't separate us from God because it has no hold on us, because Jesus has destroyed the grave and death in the life of the believer. The Hebrew word is interesting here. We see here in verse 5 just how much God loves us. The Hebrew word there for laid, when it says that the Lord and laid your hand upon me, it can also be translated marked. God has marked you. He has marked you for his love. He has not marked you for destruction. He has marked you with his love. He has marked us by the blood of Jesus Christ. His mark is upon all who confess Christ and who turn from their sins. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here's another word that speaks of the depths of God's love. He not only laid his hand on us and marks us, but that word hand, he says, he laid your hand. That word hand is significant. It is the Hebrew word kaf, and it means, specifically speaks rather of the hollow, if you will, or palm of God's hand. It's like a dish or a sling. God says, I've placed you in the hollow of my hand, a safe place to preserve you. Figuratively, it speaks of also of the power of God. So I'm placed in God's hand. He's marked me, and then he's placed me in his hand. In essence, David is saying, Lord, you have marked me and have placed me in the hollow of your hand, where I am kept by the power of your divine love. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's why he says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because he's marked you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, because he's placed you in the palm of the Father's hand, in the hollow of his hand, in a sling of his love. There's no way you can fall out. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, out of the hollow of his hand. Amen? I and my Father are one. His hand of love and grace leads us. Verse 10 says, and even there, Lord, if I make my bed in hell, even there your hand shall lead me. The hand of God leads me. Where does the hand of God lead me? Well, Psalm 23 tells us, David says, beside still waters, amen. You may be going through a difficult time this evening, and I want you to know God's hand is here, not to condemn you or to be heavy on you or to destroy you. We see that his hand is there to be laid upon us, to mark us for his love and to be a place of protection for us. But you may feel like, well, maybe God has abandoned me. No, he hasn't. His hand is here to lead you beside still waters. Concerning this phrase, beside the still waters, the preacher and commentator Charles Spurgeon writes this, and I want you to listen to these words. He says, what are these still waters but the influence and graces of his blessed Spirit? That's where God is leading you. He goes on to say, his spirit attends us in various operations like waters, in the plural, to cleanse, to refresh, to fertilize, to cherish. Our Lord leads us beside these still waters. We could not go there of ourselves. We need his guidance. Therefore, it is said, Psalm 23, verse 2, the latter part, he leads me. He does not drive me or drive us. Moses drives us by the law, but Jesus leads us by his example and the gentle drawings of his love, close quote. He leads us. Lord, you will lead me. Yes, even there, Lord, you will lead me. It is his right hand, he said, of love and grace, which holds us. That right hand, why the right hand? It is the hand of favor. It is his strong hand. That Hebrew word for hold in verse 10, where it says, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me, is the Hebrew word, akaz, and it means to seize. I love that.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with more. As we course our way through the year 2023, there are some very heavy challenges ahead for each of us. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now to bring us the conclusion of today's message, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Just when you feel like you're slipping, God seizes you. You ever been out with your children someplace and they're doing something crazy and they're getting ready to fall on you, and especially your dad, you grab them up, you know. You seize them before they fall. God's love has seized his people. His love will seize you and keep you from falling. Seize you as a possession because you belong to him. As a parent holds an infant, you know, we hold our little children, an infant, you know, the security of the child is not, again, as I've said many times before, it's not in the fact that a child has a hold on the parent. You know, my wife and I were grandparents now, and, you know, see the grandbabies come over. We had a little grandson come over the other day, and he's just kind of all over the place, and we're trying to make him laugh, and it's amazing what a grown man will do to make a child laugh, and chewing on his toes and stuff, and, you know, I'm making all these faces, and he gives you a little laugh or smile, but you're holding him, and sometimes he might grab your collar or something like that, but it's not his grip that is secure. He feels he's secure, but it's the arms of granddad or his dad holding him secure. In the same way, it is not our grip on God, it's God's grip on us, that he has seized you with his love, and he'll never let you go. Amen. That's the essence of our security. And he says, yes, even there, verse 10, even there, you ought to underline that. Even there, even where you are tonight, even there, yes, Pastor, I'm going through hell. I always tell people, if you're going through hell, keep going. The problem is we're going through hell. We want to build a house there. Where do you live? In hell. What are you living there for? If you're going through hell, the idea is to keep moving forward in Jesus and go through, for this too shall pass. Amen. Don't build a house there. Amen. Yes, even there. Even there. Where are you tonight? Yes, even there. If a pastor, you don't know, I've got some stuff going on. You know, if you only knew. Yeah, but the Bible says even there. David said, I'm going through, if I make my bed in hell, Lord, even there, he's there with you. He's there with you. Keep moving. Keep moving in full assurance. God has securely seized you in his undying love, and he will never let you go. Verses 11 and 12, he says, if I say surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shall shine as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And that's interesting that those two verses, because what he's saying there is that phrase shall not hide. You know, indeed, the darkness, and it says, verse 12, shall not hide. That phrase shall not hide can also be translated is not dark. In other words, what we perceive to be darkness, when we perceive that we are hidden from the sight of God, it is the noonday for God. Lord, you can't see me. The Lord says, you're not hidden from me. I've never taken my eyes off you. I've always been there, even when you didn't feel like I was. The darkness can't even hide us from the Lord. From God's perspective, we are never hidden from his eyes. We're never hidden from his presence. Therefore, the night shines as day unto the Lord. Remember Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob, his name meant trickster or heel catcher. He was quite a character. We may call him a jerk today, but that's Jacob. His name was changed, you know, to Israel. 12 tribes of Israel, he had 12 sons, and you know, of course, Israel means prince with God. His name was changed from the hill catcher, trickster, a jerk, to prince with God. Amen. Speaks of that transformation that we go through faith in Jesus Christ. But remember, he was in a place. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 28 that he was in a certain place. He came to a certain place. He was running from his brother Esau. You know, he was running from him, and he came to a certain place, and he fell asleep, and he was dreaming, and he saw this vision of God, but he also saw these angels ascending and descending on this ladder. We call it Jacob's ladder. And the Bible says, you know, God spoke to him, and he awoke from this dream, and this is what he said. In Genesis 28, verses 16 and 17, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I share that with you because a lot of times we look around our circumstances, the darkness of it. We think we're hidden from God. God, there's nothing you can do about this. Man, you know, I can't bear the pain. Lord, I'm going through this. I wish other people could see. I wish Pastor Al was more compassionate. I wish folks at church would call me. Nobody's ever come by. You know, all this stuff we're going through, we're blaming people and blame shifting and all of that. And the reality of that, if we would just be quiet and be still and be silent in his presence, we'll realize that God is in that very place with you. And the place of darkness, that certain place or that uncertain place that we are in, that place that you're in is really an awesome place. Because he's there. You know, I was listening to a message a brother was preaching just before this service up in Dave's office. And I thought about this very thing myself. And you know, sometimes you don't want to sound like you have no compassion for people. But a lot of people are running around, you know, afraid. You know, we collectively are running around afraid. We're going to lose our 401ks, and some of you lost your 401ks. You're going, where was God when I really needed him? And now I'm going to have to go back to work, or I can't retire when I want to, and all these things. And what's happening, if you really step back and look at it, is that a lot of people who have put their confidence in their 401ks are now having to put their faith in God. Is there something wrong with that? Come on. And from God's perspective, what we're calling darkness is light to him. It's bringing you back to the heart of Jesus, where you are ready to walk away from God and go down to Maui and just hang out and do your thing and, you know, and get drunk if you want to or whatever. And nobody knows. You know, and God's saying, no, this is forcing us to come back to the heart of God. And the things that we see, Lord, you know, I'm going through this sickness, this illness, Lord, this happened in my life, that's happened in my life. I believe all the time God is using those things to bring us back, because his goal is our intimacy with him, not our comfort. And a lot of times he's using those things. Yes, he can use that divorce. He can use that being laid off from the job. He can use this, that. And I'm not talking to someone who's never had a trial. There was no silver spoon in my mouth when I was born. I've been through some of those things. I've gone through a separation, my wife and I, after 7 years of marriage. I know what it's like to come home to an empty closet. I know what it's like to go through hard times. I know what it's like to share your pain with somebody else and nobody hear anything you're saying. I know what it's like to be lonely. I know what it's like to not feel like eating anything because you've been so lonely for so long and been rejected or whatever. And my wife knows about the pain and the suffering of that as well. We know what it's like to trust God for groceries. We know what it's like to say, I don't know if I got enough gas to get to work. We know what it's like to say, how I'm going to fix the car. We know what it's like. And in all of that, I look back and see, God, it wasn't darkness, it was light, because he was fashioning me into the man he wanted me to be. And all those things, that's why the Bible says, all things work together for good. Because we're never in a situation that's so dark that God cannot still see us. So this is a day, as a guy was sharing on that message, this is a day to rejoice, because I believe God's calling his church back to his heart, away from the 401ks, away from the security, you know, of this world, back to the security of his word, so that we can in turn turn the world upside down. We can be the light and the salt that he's called us to be. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. The old song is, eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Verse 13 here in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. There's a worship song. That my soul knows very well. I love that song. When mountains fall, I'll stand by the power of your hand. David says, my soul knows very well that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in God's wonderful Word. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.